Hello, my name is Dr. Joseph Aaron Diamond. I'm an assistant professor of neurology at the Icahn School of Medicine in Mount Sinai Health System. Thank you for joining us again for the podcast on sleep disorders. We're going to talk about the question and we're going to get some further information. So which study is more appropriate for this patient, home or in lab? And the answer is in lab. And we're going to go into why by explaining what is a polysomnography and what is the difference between a home study versus one in the lab. So a nocturnal polysomnography, generally abbreviated NPSG or even more commonly PSG. When is it indicated? Generally indicated in a diagnosis or assessment of sleep disordered breathing. Can also be used for positive airway pressure titration in patients with confirmed sleep disordered breathing, which is the gold standard for treatment of those patients. Can also provide additional useful information. There is some EEG activity, although not as much as a standard EEG that you would see in a neurologist's office, but it can detect the presence of certain abnormalities, such as seizures. Are there any nocturnal movements, which could indicate possibly the presence of restless leg syndrome or excessive periodic limb movements of sleep? What is the cardiac rhythm that happens? Are there any abnormalities, such as atrial fibrillation or other cardiac dysrhythmias? And what is the oxygen saturation the patient is having? Is it persistently lower than might make you think of a diagnosis of COPD? The polysomnography has up to 6 cerebral channels, left and right, all referenced to 2 contralateral, meaning the opposite side, mastoid electrodes, which are silent electrodes, not recording any brain activity, but are used to reference the other ones. So generally, there's 2 frontals, so 2 in the front, 2 central, 2 basically at vertex point of the head, and 2 occipital in the back portion of the head. There are also 2 electro-oculograms set up with the left 1 centimeter below the epicampal fold, or the outside portion of the eyelids, and the right 1 centimeter above the epicampal fold. Up to 3 chin EMG electromyography leads can check for submental tone, so right where your chin is, and 1 EMG lead for each limb. There's a cardiac rhythm strip, and there can be other respiratory event markers, such as a pulse oximeter, a snore mic, nasal pressure, thermistor, and abdominal and thoracic belts. So for the EEG portion, it's a modified 10-20 system, which is a way to calculate the placing of certain electrodes, which we use for a traditional EEG. It's used for sleep staging. Generally look at the occipital leads, which are best to pick up alpha activity and to assist with sleep onset. The frontal leads are most helpful for picking up delta activity or slow wave activity. And the central leads are the main leads we'd use for scoring. And again, the mastoid leads are those that can also be placed on the ear are silent. For the electrooculogram, they pick up the inherited voltage of the eye. These can be helpful because the cornea has a relatively positive voltage output, which is in the front portion of the eye, whereas the retina, the back portion of the eye, has a relatively negative voltage output. The eyes are monitored to differentiate REM sleep and slow rolling eye movements, in which rapid eye movements by its nature involve a lot more rapid movements of the eye. They can almost look like characteristic butterfly patterns on that part of the polysomnography, whereas the slow rolling eye movements almost look like general oval tubes. So for the EMG portion, we look at mental and submental tone. It's a mandatory parameter for sleep staging and can help us often to differentiate between REM versus non-REM sleep. Yawns, swallows, and tooth grinding may also increase the muscle tone. There are 4 categories of sleep monitoring devices. Type 1 is your standard attended in-laboratory PSG. Type 2 is a comprehensive portable but unattended PSG, so no staffing required there. Type 3 is a modified portable sleep apnea testing. Usually there's cardiorespiratory studies which lack EEG leads to record the actual sleep, but some might have a few leads within them. And type 4, which is usually just consists of a single or dual bioparameter recording, such as a nocturnal pulse oximetry. The categorization might not effectively classify all out-of-center sleep testing devices available. So, question for in-lab versus home. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine guidelines state that portable monitoring should only be performed in conjunction with a comprehensive sleep evaluation by a board-certified or board-eligible sleep specialist. Can use in place of a nocturnal PSG if the patient has high pretest probability of moderate to severe obstructive sleep apnea. However, you shouldn't use in certain patient populations, such as those with significant medical comorbidities, such as moderate to severe pulmonary disease, neuromuscular disease, or congestive heart failure, as well as other sleep disorders, such as central sleep apnea, periodic limb movement disorder, insomnia, parasomnias, circadian rhythm disorders, and narcolepsy. And particularly with the insomnia, this is important because the way that the in-home sleep testing devices generally calculate your apnea-hypopnea index is if they lack an EEG lead, then there's no way for them to know if the patient is actually asleep versus awake. So when they divide things, they actually use the total recording time, not the total sleep time. And this can actually underestimate your degree of apnea hypopneas that you might be having over time. So let's say if the device is recording for 8 hours and a patient has 36 events, so that's not enough for them to qualify for an apnea hypopnea index of 5 or more. Whereas if the patient was actually only sleeping for 6 out of those 8 hours, well, now your divisor actually becomes 6 instead of 8. So 36 divided by 6, now they're having an apnea hypopnea index of 6, which would qualify them in the appropriate circumstance for a diagnosis of obstructive sleep apnea. So in-lab versus home, out-of-center testing should be performed under the guidance of an American Academy of Sleep Medicine accredited comprehensive sleep medicine program with a board-certified or board-eligible sleep specialist available to review the raw data. Patients need a follow-up visit to review test results. Negative or technically inadequate portable monitoring should be followed by an attended in-lab PSG if there is residual high clinical suspicion for sleep disorder breathing, and can sometimes enhance yield with actigraphy, which is a special watch that patients can wear at a time, which measures their body position at any given time. So it can be in conjunction along with the other testing to see if the patient might actually be asleep or other activities might be occurring. Thank you very much for joining me today, and look out for our next podcast together to evaluate further sleep disorders.